Do you want more energy, better sleep, and better health? Who wouldn't? Get a free Scalar Light no obligation 15-day trial at scalarlight.com.
Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. It is the beginning of Flaming June, as we call it over here in the UK, because it's supposed to be flaming hot throughout the month of June. We're hoping that that is going to be the case because recently it has not been so good. However, this past few days, the very last few at the end of May, which happens to be a public holiday weekend, have been absolutely glorious, really nice. In fact, it's been a little bit, dare I say it, too hot. Shouldn't really say that, should I? I guess, but certainly I had quite a few jobs lined up for myself around the garden this weekend. I had a delivery of a couple of tons of soil just before the weekend. And I can honestly say that I have not shifted one spadeful of the stuff. But we have had a lovely weekend because now you can get a couple of households together. We have had my daughter and her husband stay with us. And then because you can have more people meeting in the garden, we had my parents come over for the for barbecue on Sunday, which happened to be my wedding, or my, I should say my wife and myself's wedding anniversary. And also my son's birthday on the same day. So we had a great time, especially as my daughter that came down. She is a very, very, very good baker and always bakes wonderful cakes for the family. And she did bake a couple of beautiful cakes. One for my son, and then the other one, not for our anniversary, but actually for my 21-year-old, whose birthday was back in November, and of course she couldn't be there. And that cake was absolutely delicious. It was a sort of sponge cake with a cream frosted icing, which wasn't sweet. Well, obviously, you couldn't eat too much with diabetes, but it wasn't too sweet at all. Whereas my son's one was a diabetic's nightmare. Really, I shouldn't be sharing what was on that one, but it was basically covered in Haribo sweets, which I don't really agree with anyway. It looked lovely, but certainly, and the cake itself was lovely, but I must say that a little bit of sugar overload there. Anyway, we're going to go through a little bit of news today, and then after that we're going to go back into the lessons that you can learn from my hobby, from my building my garden railway. Last week I kept you in suspense and joked around with the songs as to what we were going to talk about, and some of you will have guessed at the end that it was the garden railway. I have done an article on it in the past, and there's 12 points that I have found that you can actually learn from doing that as a hobby. And it's not just that as a hobby. There's many other lessons that you can learn from life activities that you do that you can learn a little bit about how to best manage your diabetes. And that's just one I came up with during the first lockdown back last year when I wrote the article. And I thought, oh, well, it's about time I share it, especially as I'm out there in the garden trying to get on with it again now. Hence the 2 tons of soil I ordered. Anyway, let's get on with some of the news items. And the first ones I'm going to get from diabetestimes.co.uk, which is actually, I think it's aimed at professionals, really. But this one is about the DPC, which is Diabetes Professional Care, holding a webinar to help vaccine uptake among ethnic minorities. Now, I wanted to just share this one because it does just highlight the problem that we've got with people not taking up the COVID-19 vaccine. And it's particular communities that have really not embraced it in quite the same way as perhaps they could do. And yet that's the very communities that are more likely to develop COVID-19 related complications and deaths amongst the black and ethnic minority groups in the UK. That's comparing it with the white British population. And this webinar was aimed at professionals to try and help them to understand how they can best interact with communities to try to help break the non-stop loop of lockdown by increasing this vaccine uptake. Otherwise, as we all go back into each other's homes and we start hugging one another, the danger is that we're going to start getting more and more cases and possibly some more cases with severe complications and end results. It's quite striking, some of the figures in the study. A large-scale study of more than 12,000 people carried out in November and December, led by the University of Glasgow, showed that black or black British people had the highest rate of vaccine hesitancy, with almost 72% of people in that group stating they would not have the jab. 72% not. I'm hoping that that's because back in November, December 2020, it was all a little bit new, whereas now there's quite a lot of water gone under the bridge. Hopefully people are a lot more open to having it, and in fact eager to having it. Those from Pakistani Bangladeshi backgrounds reported the second highest hesitancy, with more than 42% saying they wouldn't have it. And across all groups, the main reasons for the hesitancy were concerns over future unknown effects of a vaccine, with 42.7% of the people saying that that was their main reason. So if you're listening and you are from an ethnic minority, if you are black or Asian, then please do go and look into it from proper sources, not just from all the people making these conspiracy theories online, but get some real facts about how safe the vaccine is and go and look into it. According to the Office of National Statistics, for example, the Bangladeshi and Pakistani men were 1.8 times more likely to have a COVID-19 related death than white males. And the risk among females from those communities was 1.6 times higher. If you're more likely to get complications and a death, then surely you should be the ones that are really, really hammering on the doors of these vaccine giving centres to go and have your vaccine. So please do look into it. The next news item is also from diabetestimes.co.uk, and it is that Roche, who are a diabetes pharmaceutical firm, launches meaningful monitoring online video resources for type 2 diabetes. A series of video resources have been developed for people with type 2 diabetes to help demonstrate the importance of meaningful monitoring. Apparently, Roche Diabetes Care has partnered with Fixing Us, a company that documents people's health journeys on film, to share the story of John Neary, who lives with type 2 diabetes. It's a three-part video, and it follows him as he aims to better understand his condition and adapts to improve his health. Speaking about his type 2 diabetes, John said, "If you don't feel pain, it's easy to ignore. It's all about getting to understand it. And the only way that people will take that in is by hearing and being able to contact people and speak to people that have gone through it." It's hoped that John's story will help people to understand the challenges of the journey that people like him face, whilst demonstrating the benefits and progress that he makes by making lifestyle changes and monitoring his blood glucose in a meaningful way. Totally agree with that. You hear me on him time and time again banging on about the importance of testing and measuring, understanding what affects your blood levels, understanding what your blood levels are, and then being able to hopefully do something about it. You can't tackle something, you can't aim to improve something if you don't know how bad it is in the first place. So get testing and measuring and go along to Roche Diabetes Care and have a look at that the Fixing John episode 1, and as I said, there's 3 episodes of that. And then also on diabetestimes.co.uk, I came across an article which is called The Big Interview with Dr. Savinder Miller. And the bit of a blurb talks about there are a few diabetes consultants out there who would regularly team up with top TikTok stars. Many of you are probably thinking, TikTok, what the heck's that? Well, it's a social media platform, and I don't know much more about it than that, to be honest. But I know that the youngsters are well into it. Anyway, Dr. Miller does get involved, and in fact, it was her well-known influencer partnership with Diabetic Duo who introduced the Diabetes Times to Dr. Miller, and she's become well known for her work within the sector of young people and transitional care, trying to help young people with diabetes to move from pediatrics to adult services. It needs to be easier. I know that for a fact with my daughter with type 1, who is now 21. The move has not been good. The very, very, very few times that she's been called for any type of consultation with the hospital since becoming an adult, and many of them just get lost in that transition, particularly if they go to university. Dr. Savinder says of the Diabetic Duo that both of them are great role models in the way they live their lives to the full, not letting type 1 diabetes stop them from doing anything. They're brilliant at getting the message out there about type 1 diabetes, and they don't try to hide the fact that they have it. So check it out. And if you haven't got TikTok, then maybe if you've got a child or grandchild who does, then maybe they can introduce you to the Diabetic Duo there. Otherwise, you can find it there on the diabetestimes.co.uk. That interview, the big interview with Dr. Savinder Miller. And I'm sure there'll be links there also to things that the Diabetic Duo have done also. Now, I'm not saying that the Diabetic Duo are twins. I don't think they are. I think they're just friends. But it is quite common for siblings in the same family to both have type 1 diabetes. It is quite common for type 1 diabetes to run in families. And on the theme of twins, I thought, well, let's have a song. And the song that came to me, of course, is from the 80s, a band called the Thompson Twins, and the song is called Hold Me Now.
Pinned to my wall, an image of you and of me, and we're laughing with love at it all. Look at our life now, we're tattered and torn. We fuss and we fight and delight in the tears. We cry until dawn.
That was the Thompson Twins and Hold Me Now from way back. I think it's when I was still at school or certainly college, maybe. Anyway, you're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And you might be wondering, well, why did he play that song? Well, it was a rather tenuous link, being that the Thompson Twins and there were a couple of ladies called the Diabetes Duo, who are TikTok fans helping many youngsters deal with type 1 diabetes. I don't actually think they're twins, but it just seemed like a good idea at the time. Anyway, I hope you like the song. I hope you learned about the diabetic duo and that if you are interested, you're going to look into that. And particularly if you've got youngsters with type 1 diabetes, check it out and give them some support. You know, even if you haven't got kids, give these girls some support for what they're doing to help out. Well, looking at a few news items now from the diabetes.co.uk website. This one's of interest in my family at the moment because we've got my daughter and her husband down with us at the moment, and they are both vegetarian. And this article says, study suggests vegetarians are healthier than meat eaters. So, yeah, there can be a bit of a debate, and obviously many families find themselves in that situation where some people are choosing to be vegetarian and some aren't. Who's right, who's wrong? Well, it is, yeah, it's all a matter of preference to a large degree, I think. I don't think we should necessarily condemn people for what they eat or judge people by what they choose to eat or not eat. But this study anyway, led by the University of Glasgow, involved more than 177,000 people between the ages of 37 and 73 who categorised their diet into whether they were vegetarian or they ate meat. All the participants had their blood and urine biomarkers measured, which can then help determine the risk of diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, cancer, liver, bone and joint health, and kidney functions. The researchers say that compared to meat eaters, the vegetarians had significantly lower levels of biomarkers. This was replicated among those who were deemed obese, smoked and drank. The lead researcher, Dr. Carlos Solis Morales from the University of Glasgow, said, our findings offer real food for thought. As well as not eating red and processed meat, which have been linked to heart diseases and some cancers, people who follow a vegetarian diet tend to consume more vegetables, fruits and nuts, which contain more nutrients, fibre and other potentially beneficial compounds. goes on to say that these nutritional differences may help explain why vegetarians appear to have lower levels of disease biomarkers that can lead to damage in cells and chronic disease. Now for the next one, apparently one in five people in their 60s are thought to have slight brain function loss. That's what previous studies have found. However, this particular study is looking at childhood health has found to impact cognitive performance in later life. And they're suggesting that keeping track of a child's weight, blood pressure and cholesterol could help protect their brain function in later life. Next, we've got a couple of stories about adolescence. First of all, high consumption of sugary drinks in adolescence is linked or can be linked, may be linked to colon cancer. Apparently, heavy consumption of sugary drinks in adolescence could be to blame for a sharp rise in colon cancer rates among women under 50, researchers have said. Have a read of that if you want to find out a bit more. And the other one about adolescence is overweight teenage boys more likely to be depressed. Now, generally speaking, overweight young people are more likely to develop depressive symptoms than those who don't have weight problems. But a team from Uppsala University in Sweden has been looking at patterns of behaviour among teenagers and the different genders. And they said depression is more common in adolescent females, but boys who are considered obese are more likely to suffer from mental health problems. I suppose that's something that's important for us to look into with our youngsters, is just how they are feeling, particularly if they have got some worries about their appearance, their size, their weight. It's a challenging time for youngsters, for teenagers to be accepted and to feel normal and to feel okay about themselves. So worth looking at that article. Three more items on diabetes.co.uk, and we're going to the next one. Brittle bones in women could indicate heart attack risk. Apparently, previous studies have found a link between the condition osteoporosis, also known as brittle bone disease, and the artery hardening condition atherosclerosis. But now the latest trial has found that it might be possible to determine a woman's heart disease risk by how thin her lower spine, top of the thigh bone and the hip is. So do go and read a little bit more of that one if you're interested. Next one, people need to better understand food labelling. Well, for me, the answer there is I think the food labelling needs to be a bit more easy to understand. Apparently, researchers have said that for the sake of waste and for safety, people need to get a grip on understanding food labelling. A team from George Washington University in the States said many consumers believe they have a good understanding of food labels, but new research has proven otherwise. The study involved more than 2,600 people who were asked to explain their understanding of a two-tiered labelling system. Well, apparently, according to Dr. Catherine Turvey from the Department of Exercise and Nutrition Sciences from the University of George Washington, said our study showed that an overwhelming majority of consumers say that they use the food data labels to make decisions about food and they say they know what the labels means. However, despite confidently using date labels, many consumers often misinterpret the labels and continue to misunderstand even after reading educational messaging that explained the label's meanings. So I think most of us probably can benefit from checking out that article. Again, diabetes.co.uk is the place to go to pick up on that one. And then finally, feeling younger can help older adults live longer, the survey shows. I bet there's many of you, including myself, there pricking up our ears. Feeling younger can help older adults live longer. Well, what's all that about? Now, some of you are probably thinking, oh, we must be talking about the 80s, 90-year-olds now. But actually, this study was done, 5,000 participants, over 5,000, aged over 40, showed, you're feeling older now, showed that feeling younger, that's what we want, helped to mitigate the effects of stress and kept them healthy as they got older. Those people who said that they experienced more stress, saw their health decline over the course of 3 years, And in addition, the older the participant, the stronger the relationship was between stress and worsening health. Have a read of that one. There are a few tips on how to try to feel younger. Changing your mindset, they say, is a good place to start. Engaging things regularly, things that involve playing, laughter, learning, and adventure can also bring benefits. Meditation, exercise, stress relief programs, and talking can all help reduce the effects of stress. And of course, getting professional help if necessary. And in my opinion, my experience, getting involved with God, having a relationship with God, being a Christian, really can make a massive, massive difference to the stress levels that you have. After all, if we are made by our Creator, then surely He is going to know the best way for us to live. We're going to be moving in shortly to something that I'm creating, actually, and learning from it, and that's my model railway. Before we do that, though, we are going to listen to another song, and that song is going to be by Peter Gabriel, and it is called Sledgehammer, and I will explain to you after the song why I chose that one. If you listen very, very carefully, actually, some of the first words that he sings will give you a bit of a clue as to why I chose it. Anyway, enjoy it. Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. That was Peter Gabriel and Sledgehammer. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton and I am your host today and every week. Hopefully you listened last week and this is the conclusion of my talk from last week. And I did say that if you listened carefully to that song, to the lyrics of the song that we just played, that it would give you a bit of a clue as to why I chose the song. Most of you will know that this talk I'm going to be giving today is the conclusion regarding what you can learn from my garden railway experience regarding your diabetes. And the lyrics at the beginning of that song, it actually says, you could have a steam train if you just lay down your tracks. If only it were that simple. I can assure you that it's a little bit harder than just laying down your tracks for this garden railway, getting the inclines right, getting the corners tight, or not tight, too tight, getting the levels right. It's all a little bit, it's a bit easier to plan it and to say it than to actually do it. In fact, actually, the title of the song, Sledgehammer, that's probably quite appropriate to how I feel sometimes with doing this garden railway. Sometimes you do feel like just getting the sledgehammer and just smashing it to pieces when something goes wrong. As it did this week when one of my relatively new locomotives decided to plunge from the track in between two concrete pillars supporting the track. And thankfully, I had put some soil there earlier in the week. Otherwise, it would have landed onto some rubble, bricks and what have you. But it landed on this soft soil and amazingly somehow didn't scrape the concrete on either side of it. I do not know how it managed that, but I was thankful. Needless to say, I've halted all running of the railway until I can sort out whether it was my track, whether it was the loco at fault, whether it was a combination of the two, whether it was something the fox had done, who knows. Anyway, enough of that. You are going to be hearing a few more tips regarding diabetes and your control of it. Tips that I came to learn about whilst I was doing my garden railway. And we did five of them last week. There's 12 in total. The first one was having that dream regarding your diabetes, having something to dream for, whatever it might be. I'm not going to go into details because I want you to go back and listen to it if you did miss last week's show. You can do that either just via UK Health Radio's website or if you go to the bit.ly link, bit.ly/diabetesradio, you'll find all the past shows there. And the one before this show is the one to go to. So number one, have a dream. Number two, making a plan. It's no point in having that dream if you aren't going to make a plan to get to it. Getting advice, certainly building my railway, I've sought as much advice as I possibly can. Being prepared, getting the things in that you need in order to do the job, in order to be able to manage your diabetes better, in order to be able to lose some weight maybe, or to improve your blood sugars, you need to be prepared. You need to get things in stock, different types of food maybe, or different monitoring system, or whatever it might be. And then breaking your big goals down, your dream down into mini goals. That was number five. Making some little mini goals that you can achieve and pat yourself on the back and give yourself a reward. And I'm not talking about a reward in the shape of necessarily a big bag of sweets or anything like that, but a reward which is something that is going to be good for you as well as pleasing to you. So hopefully you're coming to the show having taken note of the last one and you've got those goals in place. You know what your dream is. You've made that plan. Maybe you've sought some advice already, or maybe you're looking to get a bit more advice today. You're getting prepared. You've got your monitor in. Maybe your mini goal is to get your HbA1c down at your next blood test. Or maybe it's the goal, mini goal is to go for a walk three times a week, or to go for a walk every single day. Getting those steps in, increasing your steps by a certain amount. There's all types of little goals that you can make, which you can measure, which are achievable, they're relevant, and they're time-bound. So remember, SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Make sure that they're like that. Let's move on to number six. And number six is don't rush, be patient. This is a lesson I've certainly learnt with my garden railway. When I try to rush, putting down some track before maybe I've got the levels right, or maybe I haven't prepared things quite right, it's not a good outcome. Usually there's usually something that's you've forgotten, you haven't connected a wire up correctly, you've connected it to the wrong track, you get a short circuit. Same thing with your plan to achieve all these things with your diabetes, is don't rush, be patient. Make sure that you've got your start date for these things. You don't have to start today, you can start tomorrow, or you can start next week. If it involves getting some diet supplements in, maybe it will need to be a week or so. Maybe you need to get that glucose monitoring. Maybe you're going to try the Freestyle Libre. Get it ordered and start your date from when you get it. And you know, don't rush things. It's much better to have that plan in action and really be able to go with it in an organized way. Number seven, don't give up. See the big picture. Oh, wow. This is one, certainly with this garden railway, don't give up. I mean, I think I've always seen the bigger picture with it, but sometimes you lose grasp of just how it can be. The burdens of life take over. And, you know, for 6 years, I didn't really touch it at all. I still wanted it. I still had that sort of vision that it could happen. But I wasn't really making the time and the effort and prioritizing it, I suppose. And you know, to a degree, I had given up. And it's so easy to give up if you don't see the big picture. And you know, sometimes you need someone to help you not to give up. In actual fact, part of the rekindling of this garden railway for me has been, yes, I had the time during the first lockdown, but also since that, it's actually been connecting with other people, friends from a club I used to go to, new people I'm connecting with via Facebook, in specific groups. And yeah, that's helped me, that's encouraged me, seeing what other people are doing, and capturing that vision again, and not giving up on what I'm planning with the garden. Same way with your diabetes. Maybe, you know, having somebody in your life, I talk about having a sweet spot buddy, someone who can pull you through the tough times, and guaranteed there will be tough times. And these people can encourage you. They can challenge you as well. If you're slacking off, you know, if you're not doing what you should be doing, they can challenge you. And yeah, it can be a real source of inspiration to help you through the tough times, to be able to glimpse that dream again. The dream that where you maybe are getting into a different size of clothes, or maybe where your HbA1c is better, maybe your blood pressure is better. Yeah, that is what we're talking about here, is having that dream for the big picture. Do not give up. Number eight lesson from the garden railway is making lasting changes, no quick fixes. You know, had I built my railway line on a temporary wooden structure, yes, it would probably be finished by now and I'd be enjoying it. And there is an argument for that in the garden railway circle. But it probably wouldn't have looked as nice as what my finished one will be when it's all landscaped. I don't want to take any shortcuts. And the same way with your life, don't take shortcuts. There's no quick fixes. Build your lifestyle to last. Make sure you make lasting changes, not quick fad diets necessarily, but things that are really going to make a difference to you. Maybe, you know, really just planning the amount of exercise you're going to do. Maybe join a rambling group or a sports running club or something where you can be with others, and it will be literally a lifestyle change. Lasting changes, no quick fixes. Number nine, test and measure, or measure and test. This is pretty important, both in gardens and railways and also in your diabetes. In my railway, before pouring the cement and then again before laying the track, I measure and test the gradient and the camber. Otherwise, when I come to operate, I'll have disastrous effects, such as the one I had this past week. Probably something has gone wrong there with my testing and measuring it, or measuring and testing it. Or maybe it was just a problem with the loco. I'm yet to find that out. But as you make changes in your lifestyle, you know, test your blood glucose regularly and plot them on the graph so that you can see what you're doing, you know, whether it's working, whether things that you're changing are having. You can contact me at contact@undefeated.org if you want for information on our U-Plan method for tracking and reducing your blood glucose levels. I've been experimenting with a Freestyle Libre and found that really helpful. But you can pinprick regularly if you want to. There's various ways, but you can measure your blood and you can know that actually this day I did this activity, this is what my blood was like. This day I ate that food, this is what happened to my blood. It's so much more empowering to know what your lifestyle is having regarding affecting your blood sugars. Number 10, this is one you'll enjoy. Have fun and share it. I'm enjoying all my hard work and seeing the progress. And believe me, everyone I talk to knows it. Often when I'm speaking with my patients, we talk about what we do in our spare time while I'm treating their feet. And quite often, their hobbies come up, my hobby comes up, you know, and we talk a little bit about it. And you know, people know I'm doing it and that I'm proud of it. People need to know as well about what you're doing. You need to share it. You need to, if you share it as well, another good thing about it is that you are compelled to continue with it, with this diet or this blood glucose improvement that you're trying to achieve, the exercise you're trying to achieve. Have fun and share it with others. And this links in to number 11, really, which is celebrate your success. Let your friends and family know what you're doing and share the success stories. You know, when you've lost that little bit of weight, when your blood sugars have improved, share it. You'll be surprised how many of them actually need similar sort of lifestyle changes. And the fact that you're sharing it will prompt them to make a change as well. Remember that although they may not have been diagnosed with diabetes, 50% of people in the world with diabetes don't know they have got it. So you may well be doing somebody a favor by just, you know, sharing your success stories and celebrating the dreams that you're achieving, the changes that you're making, being positive about it. Don't go around moping because you're on a diet all the time. And actually, that can be something that's easily done if you're doing it by yourself. But if you've got other people involved, then you'll feel better whilst you're doing it. And particularly if you can have these mini goals that we talked about earlier, these little celebration points where you can celebrate your success as you go along. And then number 12, the final one, number 12 is maintain it. And this is one of the most important aspects of having built a garden railway. That is to maintain it. I was quite pleased this year when it came out of winter because I wasn't really doing anything on it in winter. But I suppose fairly early on, it was still winter. There was still frost around and what have you in January, February. That's when I cleaned the track and tried the train. And it worked first time. But I had to clean the track first. Otherwise, it wouldn't have done. And that's some maintenance. But I'm sure that as time goes by, there will be more need for maintenance. Perhaps the ground will move a little bit as it does. We're on London clay and it cracks terribly in the dry weather. That's why I've been doing the concrete foundations, is to make sure that it can stand the test of the time and the test of the ground moving in that way. But it would be foolish of me to get one of my most expensive locomotives out and run it along that track, having not checked it after a period of not running it. You need to maintain it, particularly with the elements and the wildlife and nature, which has its way of dropping branches, bird poo, fox poo even, slap bang on your mainline running track. So yeah, similar way in your diabetes, you need to maintain it. There will be some, the equivalent of fox poop and bird poop landing in your life. You will get a curveball thrown you, as I was earlier this year with my leg, my knee playing up and my sciatic problem. That has really thrown a curveball in my diabetic control. I am not able to be, I've just started running again, but not, it's more walking than running. And that really has limited the amount of exercise I've been doing. And I'm, well, I know that I've put on the weight. I keep joking with my patients when I put the plastic apron on at the beginning of an appointment that the ties at the back of the apron have got shorter over the lockdown periods. Actually, of course, they haven't done. It's me that's got a bit bigger. So, yeah, maintaining your weight, maintaining your good blood sugars, really, really important, just as it is to maintain that garden railway to make sure that it doesn't lapse into just a ruin. And we don't want your life lapsing into a ruin either. Once you've achieved your dream weight or your dream amount of exercise you're doing, you know, if you're doing a couch to 5K or something, or maybe it's your dream HbA1c, the one the doctors want you to get to, when you've achieved that and you're now safely in the diabetic sweet spot, that's when you're going to find the most likely temptations are going to come in, such as, you know, eating badly again, or, you know, getting tired and not exercising. Or perhaps you'll get busy and, you know, the bad habits will creep back in again. And that's where having someone who can hold you accountable and encourage you is so important. Possibly a family member, but maybe it's better not to have a family member doing it. Maybe somebody from your church or your faith group. Maybe somebody who can just hold you accountable to how things are going. And you have some, you know, put some boundaries in place at the beginning that you can accept what they're going to say to you. You can understand that they will be challenging you sometimes and encouraging you other times. But you will be in a position where you're actually sharing the burden of your diabetes control with someone else. And I actually think it's good for people who have diabetes to get together and to be each other's sweet spot buddy. That's what my goal is with regards to the undefeated mentoring sessions that we're going to be doing, the ideal diabetic lifestyle, really that I can help people to link up with each other and hold each other accountable, encourage one another so that you can maintain the success that you're going to be able to achieve by doing the ideal diabetic lifestyle, by doing the U plan that we talk about in that. So if you want to hear any more information about that, then please do get in contact with me. You can do that via contact@undefeated.org and just ask for me, Peter Alton. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. You've been listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, and I hope you have a fantastic week ahead. Please do go back and listen to the last show if you missed it. Listen to this one again. Take notes and make sure that you put things into practice. If you want to find the Health Triangle magazine article, then you can also email me and I'll send you a copy of it, or you can subscribe to it, to the Health Triangle magazine. Some fantastic articles in there every single month. I have two articles in there, one on feet and one on diabetes, but you can find all sorts of different topics there. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week and tune in again next week. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot, living the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.